If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to be taking my reading lesson out of the 13th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 13. In this book we find this prophet, man of God, that was prophesying in the time about approximately 597 B.C. to the people of Israel after they had been taken captive and taken out of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. And as he's speaking to this people and the place where they're taken captive is somewhere probably near Babylon. Probably if we would look at a map today, it would be somewhere around Tel Aviv, if you'd see in the news or something like that. But this prophet was speaking to this people, and I'm going to start reading in the first verse in the 13th chapter through the 16th. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, and have not seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity, lying divination, saying the Lord, so the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word." So basically we see here in this first few reading that there were prophets that were going out here, and I'm going to continue reading in a moment, but in these first few verses here we see that there were prophets that was going out and they was basically saying whatever they wanted to say. They was trying to teach different things that wasn't actually direction or leadership from what God was telling them. They basically were probably false prophets, or they weren't getting, if they were prophets of God, they weren't getting the instruction that they were supposed to get. And they was just saying and doing the things that they wanted to do. And by them doing that, it says, you've not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. And just hold on to that verse and that thought for just a moment as we read on down through here. I'll continue reading in verse 7. It says, "Have you not seen a vain vision? Have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, The Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and divine lies, and they shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying, Peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar, saying to them which daub it with untempered mortar that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you where it is daubed wherewith ye have daubed it? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. I will break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and I will bring down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered. And it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, And I will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. I'm going to stop my reading right here. And basically, if I had a title or a thought this morning, it would basically be putting up walls would be the title for it. In thinking about this morning, in this thought, reading about these different things. Now, you can read here, and they're speaking of building walls and putting up hedges. And it's in the Old Testament times, you can go through and you can find it that these walls were built around cities and to protect them. It was a place of protection. They would build up these great walls in defense for anybody that might want to come and overthrow them or attack them or take them. They would build these great walls up around them, basically a fence in their city to protect everybody, because it wasn't just like a fort. It was literally a city. It was people's homes and their families and their children and everybody that was all encompassed in these walls. And it was so when somebody was overrun by somebody, it meant that they went in and they didn't just fight against the military. They went in and they fought everybody, families, men, women, children. They were all in the line of fire, I guess, if you will say. And so the importance of having a very, very strong wall, if you will, in that day, it's to be understated. You know, if your wall wasn't strong enough, then anybody could come and knock it down and overtake you. And this that was speaking of here, about that they were building walls with untempered mortar, and that it shall fall. Basically, I guess in those days they would build the mortar. You know, they'd make that mortar out of slime and lime and mud, and they would, that's what they used for mortar. But I guess they would take what we would call somebody coming in and doing a cheap job for, you know, real quick now. You know, they come in and take shortcuts. They wouldn't use any lime, and then they would paint over it to make it look pretty, so it'd make it look good, and then. But it wouldn't be strong, and it wouldn't be sturdy, because the main reason I believe that it was teaching here was because God was not in the building. God wasn't in the building of the walls. He wasn't in what was being said or what was being done to. In the lives and the families and in the building of the walls. We think about today when we talk about a building. This is a church house. This is a building. And it is simply that. It is simply a building. The church, we know to be the people. The people is literally the church. We've been blessed to have a building that goes around us that will shelter us from bad weather, that takes care of us, you know, and we can be in here and we can be cool in the summer and warm in the winter, and it's a building. But the church, the literal church, is the people. And as we think about these things, we think about the walls and the hedges. You know, we're told all throughout, I guess, like I've said, the importance of walls in the Old Testament and the hedges over in the Old Testament. You can look back over in the book of Samuel, and you can see where David's army and his men were even counted to be as a wall around a people, around a family. And so we see here that over in, and if you want to look at that, that's in the 25th chapter of 1 Samuel in the 16th verse, where Samuel went in to get some stuff. And but I don't really want to go into that. I was just using that as an example where the people are the wall. We look over in the book of Nehemiah, and we can find also here where it talks about the rebuilding of the temple. And I thought that was it's a pretty good thing here. And you can read through this third chapter in the book of Nehemiah, and you can see how that as they were rebuilding the temple, all the families that were living within that wall were assigned to build the section that was in front of them. Now you just think about it, if you were building a wall that was to protect you, that was to protect your family, protect your home, protect all that you had, how good a job would you want to do to protect yourself? Wouldn't you want to do it the best way you knew how, the strongest, the sturdiest, the best of materials? You'd want to do whatever that you needed to do to make your wall strong, to make it sturdy. You'd want to get the best materials, wouldn't you? And I thought it was, if nothing else, it was quite a motivation for those people that were assigned the task to rebuild the walls around the temple, that they were assigned the section in front of them, because they're going to take care. They had to think about taking care of their family. They had to take care of their loved ones. And to be safe and to be able to take care of their loved ones, they had to build that wall that was in front of them, and they wanted to get strong. They didn't want it to be knocked down. They didn't want it to be overrun by thieves or robbers or murderers. They wanted to get strong. They wanted their section to be strong, to sturdy. As you think about that in today's time, in the things that we live, this world that we live in, do we not today want the same thing in our homes, in our families, in our church? Do we not want our walls to be strong? That do we not, as parents, want to our children to be safe? Do we not want them to be able to go out into the world, to send them to school, and to do things, to live and to be safe? Do we not try to instruct them on what is right and what is wrong, what's going to keep them safe? The right people to be around that will keep them safe, and that won't be led astray and lead them in the wrong paths. Absolutely. Absolutely we do. And when we allow this untempered mortar to get into our lives and to get into our churches and to get into our families, it makes it easier to tear the walls down that we built. Everything that we do is important. It's important in this church that we always uphold the truth, that I try to preach the truth, that we try to live a life that's right, because when we do that, we're building those walls up. We're building those walls up around us, and we're protecting ourselves. We're protecting by having the truth and knowing the truth and presenting the truth. We're building walls, and we're protecting ourselves from this world. We're protecting ourselves from Satan. We're protecting our children and our loved ones. And the church is being protected. You think about over in the book of Job, how Satan attacks. You think about Job and the life that he lived and what all come upon him. It would be a tough thing to think about. But you know, we have a lot of tragedies going on here in church today, don't we? We have a lot of church members here that's got a lot of sickness and had sorrows and had death and everything that's overtaken them, and it's just on and on. It seems like it's a never-ending thing. I think about little Addie, you know, and all the struggles and trials that she's gone through and her parents is dealing with too, you know. All these different things. How important is that wall in these times? How important is that wall of grace that God gives? That strength that God provides to those that love the Lord. That's all I can say. To those that love the Lord. It is so important. You think about a verse that David wrote over here in the 127th chapter of the book of Psalms. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. Except the Lord build the house. You know, we want those that are a part of this church to be saved by God's grace. We want those, and only those that have been saved by God's grace, because they're a part of this building. They're a part of this church. They're a part of us. And it's important that we hold on to that. If we as a people just allow anybody in the world to walk in these doors and join our church without testimony of salvation, of what we believe the Lord does, and those of us who have been saved by God's grace have a testimony. We have a time and place where we come under conviction, where the Lord dealt with us and showed us that we was a sinner. He brought us down and we repented and we trusted in Jesus. We turned to Jesus and we turned everything over to Him, and we was praying and we was seeking Him, and there was something that happened to us, and we had an experience with God when He saved our soul. If we as a church just allow anybody to come in and be a part of this, that would untimber the mortar that this church is built on. Because it's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Bible teaches that His church is built up on. Now, His church is built up on, and we find over in the book of Ephesians, I think it's in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, how it tells that in the 20th verse, it says, "You're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together into a habitation of God through the Spirit." We're built upon the foundation of the Jesus and the apostles, their teaching. Those teachings, how that Christ came to this earth, the gospel message that we preach, that we have faith in, that God will use to reach those that are lost, to reach down to those that are lost, and that they can be saved through the understanding and faith and of the preaching of the gospel. It's so important that we as God's people know where our strength lies. Over in the 6th chapter, you can turn over and we can find out a little bit further. You know, we're not you read in much of the Old Testament writings how there was so much war, that there was always somebody invading somebody and taking somebody and killing somebody. There was so much war and things that were going on in the Old Testament. But we find out in the New Testament that there is war still going on. There is still literal physical wars where people are bombing and shooting one another. But there's a war that His church is in, that God's people are in, and it's a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. It's one that we have to fight off. And that spiritual warfare, it tells us in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, and I've read this many times, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, Now, as you read down through here, you'll find this is basically an individual suit of armor. And as I said earlier, that those people that were rebuilding the wall of the temple, they were rebuilding the section for themselves individually. This was a section that they were building to protect themselves. It was to protect them and their family and to do all these things. Now, as I am looking at this morning and thinking of this, is that each one of us, as we're putting on this armor, we're doing this to protect ourselves. You know, you think about putting on suits of armor and what happens in this, that there's going to be a fight. Well, if you read down here and you look at all these different things, each and everything that is given to us is an instrument for defense. It's an instrument for defense. You look at these things, wherefore take unto you the armor, that you may be able to withstand withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about. Okay, you've got on a girdle here, an old girdle that was to protect you. You have girt about in the truth, and have on the breastplate. A breastplate was a shield that was to protect your chest and your heart area. The breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod, of course your shoes to protect your feet, prepared, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts from the wicked. So you have a shield that's also another layer to your wall. You've built another layer. You've got a shield of faith, knowing that God is out there and He's fighting the battles. And it was mentioned the angels that's looking down, I believe, this morning, that there are ministering spirits that are looking out, that are helping, that are watching over us, that are taking care of us. I can go back to many, many times in my life when somebody had to be watching over me, and that's as far as I'm going to go with that. Somebody had to be watching over me. I know that for a fact. I didn't see that then. I didn't realize it then, but there are times in my life where I know somebody had to have been looking after me. Because if it wasn't, I probably wouldn't be here before you today. This shield that the Lord puts about, the helmet of salvation to protect your head, the word, or the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You think about all of these different things, and I guess the sword could be used as an offensive weapon to fight back with, the sword of the Spirit. You think about what Jesus did when He was being tempted by Satan. Those temptations were Satan tempted Him. In the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, you can read and you can find where Satan tempted Jesus after He fasted for 40 days, and then He took Him to high pinnacles, and they did all these things, and He offered all these things, and Jesus used the Word of God in His defense. He used God's Word to defend Himself and to defend Him from Satan, and to basically put Him on the road. Those things that we have, you think about the Word of God and what it does, the truth, all the different layers that comes into effect. You think about in the Old Testament, the walls they would have out. Sometimes they would have a moat around the wall that the people would have to go across the water before they could get to the wall even to come in. You know, they'd do all these things. They would pour oil on the water and set the oil afire. And there's all kinds of different things that was done to strengthen the wall, to make the wall better. There's another line of defense. All these different things that take place. And with Satan in the world today at work, we need every line of defense that we can possibly have. We need, as a people, to build our walls strongly. We need to build our walls upon the truth, upon what is right. We need to teach our children. We need to build those walls and those hedges up around our children. We do this by what? How do we do these things? By we bring them to church. We teach them what's right. Whether you know it or not, that's building a wall, pal. That's building a wall. That's God looking down and having favor upon you for doing what you're supposed to do, raising your children and teaching them to do what's right. God looks down and He blesses that, and He puts a hedge of protection around you and your home and your family. There's a lot of people think that they can go out into the world and they can make money, and they can buy things, and they can build a nice home, and they can provide their children with a good education, a nice car, and do all these different things, and that's going to help them more than anything. Well, no, it's not. The best thing that we can do for ourselves and for our children, for our family, our friends, and our loved ones is to bring them to the house of God where they can hear the truth and where as I said over here in this reading, except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord puts the walls up around us. Except the Lord put a hedge about your children, about your home, about your family, about your place of work, about your school. Except the Lord do this, the builders labor in vain. There's so many things that's done in vain today for all the wrong reasons. When it's about God. It's about God. And you think about all these different things and all these different ways. I think about today also those that are lost. You think they put up those walls also, don't they? You have people that hear. They may be raised from a different way. They may be raised differently. They may have a different way of salvation that they were raised under, whatever it might be. And when they hear the truth that they are just simply to trust in Jesus, repent of their sins, and have faith in Him and seek Him, they build a wall because they believe that there's some other way to heaven. They believe that works or baptism or my name on the church roll or whatever it's going to be is going to get them to heaven. They build up these walls and they build up these thoughts in their minds. God's Word says that His Word tears down those strongholds. God's Word says that He, God, His Holy Spirit can tear down all those strongholds. And I don't know where that verse is particularly right now. I wish I could find it, but it says that. It tells about tearing down those strongholds. Tearing down all those walls, all those barriers that whatever it might be to keep you from believing, keep you from trusting. you're here this morning, you fit into that category this morning, I'm not here to make you a missionary Baptist. I just want you to be saved. I just want you to be saved by God's grace. That's it. That's all I want. I want your soul to be saved. And I know from what the Bible teaches me and from my own personal experience that way is of salvation is through Jesus Christ. It's through repentance and faith in Him. And that is the only way. Broad is the road and narrow is the way. One way. That's through Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can get you into heaven but Jesus. And you got to trust in Him. You got to believe in Him. I didn't know how to do it when I was a little boy, but I did it. He helped me. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to say, but I did it. He saved my soul. I just called out upon Him and I turned everything over to Him and He saved my soul. Oh, second chapter of the book of Thessalonians, and you see all these things. Speaks about all these false prophets and all these things. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing Himself that He is God. People in the world showing themselves to be God. That they can save you. That within their powers they can save you. That they can get you to heaven. Yeah, we all know of so-called religions that works that way. But Jesus is the only way to heaven. Remember you not that when I was with you, yet I told you these things, and now you know that what withholdeth that He might be revealed in His time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. On the day that the Lord comes back, all this false garbage, all these lies, all these so-called men of God that have stood behind book boards and proclaimed to be preachers of God, it's going to be revealed just exactly what they are. It's going to be made clear. There's going to be a revealing. You know, people can build their walls all they want to. They can deny the truth. They can run and they can hide and they can do whatever they want to get away from what they want to. Everybody has that choice. God gave everybody that choice, didn't he? If he wanted to, he could have saved everybody. He could have done that. But he gave them a choice that if you would turn to him, if you would come to him, if you would trust in him, if you would believe in him, you know, there was a stipulation to it. You had to, I had to be willing to give everything up. I had to be willing to give everything up that the Lord would save my soul. That he was first. He was the most important thing in my life. That's all that mattered when the Lord saved my soul was the Lord. And he saved me. This world that we live in today, if there anything out there, there's a lot of lies going on. When the Lord comes, all this lies and all these false prophets, as the Bible calls them, they're all going to be burned up. But the truth will never end. There's no end to the truth. There's no end to Jesus. All those that die because they did not believe, the truth still goes on. While they're burning in a devil's hell, the truth is still the truth. Jesus was the only way. Jesus was the only way. Trusting in him. For all those, it says here, that choose not to believe. It says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They built a wall in their mind, in their heart. They hardened their heart. They built a wall and they calloused it up and they put those layers around it to protect to keep that truth out. That love of Jesus might not get in. So yes, you can sit under the truth and die and go to a devil's hell simply because you never trusted Jesus. You can do that. You can do that. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If it ain't right, it's wrong. It's simple. If it's not truth, it's a lie. It's error. This morning, as we as a church look into tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow, we have to know that we've got to keep our walls strong. We have to keep it built on the truth, on what is right, if we want the Lord to bless and the Lord to guide. If you're here today and lost, I pray that you'll tear down some of them walls, that you'll allow the Spirit of the Lord to get in your heart and just listen. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm asking this morning. Just consider. Just listen. That Spirit might come in and have an effect upon you. Listen to what the Holy Spirit does. Is He speaking to you this morning? Is there a discomfort in you this morning? Is there an uneasiness in your heart, in your mind? Is there a place in you that's just not sure? Ask yourself that this morning. And if you don't have Jesus, come to Him. come to him. Just get on your knees and call out to him and ask him to save your soul this morning. That's how he saved me, and that's how he'll save you if you ever get saved. God bless you all. That's my prayer. Brother Bert, I don't have a song this morning. Is anybody here lost this morning? Want to sing more? This old Lord's been open all the time anyway. But you can pray wherever you're at. It don't make any difference if the Lord's dealing with you today. You need to seek God. You need to tear down those walls. Don't allow stuff to get in your way and separate you from God.
Turn to page number 119 and sing the first.